it. But first, business unusual. Colin Cullis. Let's talk about the thing about which we are talking right now, Colin Cullis, which is the wireless.
Yeah, it seems unfair that we've looked at the disruption in almost every other industry and sort of just shirked our own. We obviously are, like all other media, affected by disruption, new technology and changing behaviors. Newspapers aren't alone in having circulations and subscriptions and advertising drop, and TV doesn't, you know, have smaller audiences and shorter viewing times. We've got a changing demographic of people who are certainly younger people who are listening less often and tuning in via other means. And so the challenge for us is to see how we can best adapt to that. And I thought that a starting point would be to see where it all started, because start with our name, radio broadcasting.
Actually, it's 1920. I'm wearing a bow tie and I'm speaking on a broadcaster.
Yes. You do, but the title when they came up with it was just before the start of the 1900s, but it's basically a wagon wheel spoke and a means for distributing seeds widely. That's what we got. So radio is a form of radius. Radius takes its Latin name from a wagon wheel spoke. And broadcasting is actually an agricultural term for a way of spreading seeds. And somebody just thought, this sounds like a good idea. We're spreading things over a wide audience. And so radio broadcasting sounds very grand, but we've got very humble beginnings. Although, listen to that start and tell me if it doesn't sound similar to another technology you're aware of. Kicks off with a new technology, offering access to a vast amount of information electronically and instantly to anyone with a receiver. The businesses that launch these radio offerings did so with little knowledge of how to generate revenue, but looked to capture new audiences. The investment appetite saw radio stock valuations rise to unrealistic levels that finally came crashing down to earth, certainly in the US, with a Wall Street crash that led to the Great Depression. Amazing.
You're not talking about the internet, are you?
Definitely not. Nothing to do with the internet. Amazing how history does repeat itself, though.
Yeah.
And I suppose the two sort of parts of the stories is how radio was treated, or it's developed in sort of Europe and parts of the world that had, let's call it, for want of a better word, a more socialist sort of element to their governments, versus the US, which was very much a sort of a capitalistic type thing. And in Europe, those areas, radio really took off to the First World War. It was a massive tool both for the military and for people to get access to information as that was progressing. But was typically funded and controlled by the state, whereas in the US it was pretty much a commercial type venture. And it was actually the telephone companies, because almost everybody jumped on board. Newspapers bought licenses to start radio stations so they could sort of offset the potential losses that have. So, hey, newspapers have been working on this one for a while. And retailers even started broadcasting because it helped spur the sale of radio units. And at the time, there was a real run buying these things, pretty much the way people started wanting to buy mobile phones. But it was thanks to the telephone companies who came up with a way that they could actually sell the stuff. And would you believe the anniversary for it was yesterday. Oh, am I right? The 28th of August, Monday, Tuesday. Anyway, one of the days. 28th of August, 1922.
This week.
The 28th of August, 1922, a radio station thought that the way it could make revenue, like a telephone call, is pay for time. The longer you have a telephone call, the more it costs you. And so they sold 10 minutes to an advertiser for $50 for an apartment complex that was being built in New York. And that was the first radio ad. They had just found out how they could fund this thing, and so became a really popular and profitable medium for the next very many years. Fast forward to sort of the 50s, and radio is now in almost every home, almost everywhere in the world. It's really become a mass medium. And clever scientists invent the transistor. And the transistor allows radios to become portable. In fact, for a long time, they were known as transistor radios because of the miniaturization. And it also meant that every car, and in the 60s, certainly cars became very, very widespread. They all had radios in them. And radio became pretty much the biggest mass medium that was around. In fact, it was only with satellite broadcast that we had more coverage of the planet and fewer people, or as many people, being able to reach it. And it was great for entertainment. It was great for education. It was great for commerce. And unfortunately, yes, it is highly influential, so it's pretty good for propaganda. And some estimates say that the Rwandan genocide was so much worse, because there was a station started just before the genocide began that was inciting violence and spreading hate speech that just, you know, exacerbated that. And so we have to be mindful of the power of the medium. And in part, it was that power. Some research carried out by Google in the sort of mid-2000s, looking to see what they could most likely do to enhance their own searches and turn those searches into purchases. And they found that if an online ad had also been heard on radio within 2 hours of the person being online, the likelihood of somebody acting on that ad that they saw online was greater. And so Google set about building well, basically looking to take over radio for their own benefit. And that maybe wouldn't have been a worse thing to have happened, but it certainly would have been a major disruption for us. But the 2008 financial crisis put paid to that, and they refocused back on the ad businesses. And that venture is still ongoing. Radio stations around the world are busy improving their own offerings for campaigns and making it easy to people get access to them with terms like programmatic buying, machines that understand what shows are on when and which audiences they reach and allow you to buy advertising to fit for that.
But also consumer patterns have altered in the same way as many people don't watch TV programs in the traditional way of, oh, it's 8 o'clock, I better go and switch on the TV now and go and watch it. They've simply PVR'd it and they'll watch it when it's all well and good. They'll might skip through the ads unless one is particularly compelling. In the same way, the world of podcasts has evolved to a point where for many people, it's a preferred mechanism of listening because it's about convenience. I might want to be at the gym at this particular moment in time, but I can listen to The Money Show later tonight as I go to bed or on my way to work tomorrow, should I choose to do so.
Yeah, so those are the adjacent possibles. You know, until we had the technology that could time shift stuff, radio was very ephemeral. If you weren't tuned in and listening to it on a radio device, it was pretty much gone forever. And actually, when mobile phones were first introduced, one of the selling points of a mobile phone is that they had FM chips on them. And that was a great way for people to be able to say, oh, yeah, I'm going to get a phone because there's a new way I can listen for very portable uses of radio. And then the mobile phone and the websites and all these other things that developed with the web did create the opportunity for things like podcasts. And may I just let you know, Bruce, officially, that on our August radio stations, your show is the most popular podcasted piece of content we have and has been for quite some time. So congratulations for that one. It's an opportunity.
Thank you. No, hold on a second. Hold on. I need to clear my throat. I'm quite emotional. Thank you, Money Show listeners, for being so loyal. That's lovely.
Indeed, though. And it goes to, you know, is it the time of day that's a little more easy to perhaps listen to this in the morning or later in the evening, or as you say, when you're doing gym or commuting to work? You no longer have to be held that because you're having an interview with a person at a set time, that's when you have to listen to that person. Mm. And it also allows you to sort of pick and choose. So most of your parts of your show will be set aside for later, and you can choose, oh, I always love listening to The Shapeshifter, so let me listen to all of The Shapeshifters. And yes, with podcasts, it's not just an on-demand listening. You're actually able to subscribe to them. And so you will have them delivered to your computer or your favorite little device, your phone, whatever, and it'll pick it up that way. And in fact, we've started working with websites, and then websites have become mobile, and mobile sites have become apps. I don't know if you got to see, we did a little experiment today here in the building and ask Siri to simply to start playing Cape Talk, and it works for 702 as well, and it works on Android too. But generally you have to do a little bit of training. So right out the gate,
hey Siri, play Radio 702.
You haven't downloaded the app, Bruce.
Oh no,
I have got the app. You do? Then try that again and say, hey Siri, please play the 702 app.
Hey Siri, please save my life and play the 702 app. No, come on. Siri's been drinking again. Have I deleted the app? Oh, dear.
You might have.
Bruce. No, I haven't. There it is. I have the app.
So, okay, there is a little bit of training that Siri needs, and Siri is is learning in leaps and bounds. But again, we're no longer at the end. You know, the change is messy. Start playing
Cape Talk, and it works for 702. You see, there's that. Right? Oh, no, now I can't switch it off. Shush. Shut up. There we go. That's right.
And indeed, you know, you talk about that on your phone, but cars, just like in the 50s and 60s, when the transistor radio allowed every car to get one, the integration of mobile data into a car effectively means you'll just be chatting along to your car and asking it for particular clips it would like to play, or radio stations, or genres of music, or any kind of audio that you'd want. And in some respects, while it is not the same as a traditional radio broadcast, we aren't defined by the means of delivery. We're defined by the method of communicating with people in a very intimate way about stories and the storytellers that deliver them. And so we are less dependent on whether or not it was via a traditional FM or AM radio signal, via a digital broadcast, an analog broadcast. We're kind of less reliant on that. And in some respects, given the limitation, and this is a slightly technical bit, when we broadcast and when you receive data, you're using part of the electromagnetic spectrum. And the amount that is set aside currently for mobile consumption is pretty much at its capacity, whereas the amount set aside for radio and TV broadcast is still very, very large. Our next step would be to move from analog, which we're currently doing. We were supposed to have changed already, but we'll move to digital broadcast. That frees up some space and possibly data gets added into the other bits. But I can imagine a time where we pretty much say that radio, TV, and the internet simply streams everything via data. We'll have to get the prices sorted out. And we've just got this one single medium with blindingly fast speeds, super duper reliability, and you can get a fully interactive, beautiful way of interacting with your devices.
And that's wonderful from a customer point of view. And so much of technology has done that precisely very, very well. And that has made a great consumer experience. But for industries that have not transformed their business models quickly enough, they're the ones that have been caught short. The customer experience is wonderful, but in the process, it destroys an established mechanism of distribution, an established method of paying for itself.
Yeah, so we typically refer to those four factors that are going to likely aid a disruption in industry. And the first one is the focus on the product rather than the customer. Well, radio's product wasn't really broadcast. It was just the means for it. It was always focused on delivering content that people would want to consume. And if you didn't, you know, you'd have a competitor that would take that away from you. The second one was an enabling technology. And radio has been very, let's say, open to taking on whatever new technology has come around. The people in radio maybe have been a little resistant sometimes and having to get their heads around social media and broadcasting and writing articles and creating video. Once again, Bruce, you seem to have excelled there for being on all of those platforms almost all of the time. But it is a bit of a challenge.
There's a name for that, which I'll be taking to the Broadcasting Complaints Commission if I say it. But it's not very polite. It's for somebody who gives of themselves freely.
Yes. So the third point then was the notion of a regulation that would either prohibit or allow for it. And again, in our case, we are a regulated industry. But the access for certainly online content is open to everybody. And, you know, in many ways, the rise of fake news, even though it's not the rise and it's not fake news, it's simply because everybody is now a broadcaster. Access to those channels for getting information out has been a challenge for everybody, not just us. And the fourth one is the one that we really have escaped the bullet on, and that is the degree to which investors are wanting to come in and buy into this specific industry. And you know, we've had a tough time in difficult economies trying to make sure that we can cover our incomes. And the challenge remains still for us to say, if we can't just do this via advertising, how do we build a sustainable subscription model? How do we offset the cost of the huge cost sometimes of production with providing content to people who'd say, well, I'm happy to buy my music now from Apple Music and I'm happy to pay for Netflix to watch my movies. But we still don't have that view about, I love listening to the radio and the content.
I've had 100 years of radio free. Why should I pay for it now? That's going to be the big hurdle. Colin Cullis, we must leave it there. But Business Unusual correspondent Colin Cullis, one thought to wrap up with, and then we have to go.
Well, listen to it again and read more, because it's all online and available for a podcast.
There we go. Podcast. You see, we're embracing the new technologies. Will somebody just pay for it, please? Colin Cullis with Business Unusual this evening on The Money Show.